Okay, good evening and welcome to the regular meeting of the City of Morro Bay's Recreation and Parks Commission. Today is Thursday, January 15th, 2015. All the commissioners are present, so we have a quorum, so I'm calling this meeting to order. First, we'd like to have a moment of silence, please. Okay, thank you very much. We start with announcements and presentations. So we turn this over to Joe for... does the commission have any announcements they would like to make?
I've got a couple. The CIT wrestling tournament is this weekend, the 23rd and 24th. It's the largest high school wrestling tournament in the state of California. We've got probably 62 to 65 high school teams coming to Morro Bay to wrestle for 2 days. Finals are Saturday at 4 o'clock. Also on February 14th is Valentine's Delight. The Morro Bay High School choir and band are doing individual presentations, and there's also a spaghetti dinner. If you want tickets, 771-1845. That's the 14th on Valentine's in the Los Osos Community Center.
Okay, any more announcements?
I'd just like to announce the CERT program that's going on with the fire department. It's already the third, there's five programs and it's in the third one, so keep your eye open for the next one that opens up, and it's very important because on any given night we only have maybe 13 employees out there to cover the county, and if we have a disaster, there is, what, 50,000 people in the county, 60,000? 13 to 60 is bad odds, so the more we can take care of ourselves, the better we'll be. So look for the CERT program and get interested and get into it. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else, Council?
Okay. I've got a couple of announcements.
And Mr. Woods.
Thank you, Chair Sedaris and Commission. Good evening. I've got a couple of quick announcements. One happened last Tuesday night at City Council. We have a new representative from City Council. So if you all can please welcome Ms. Christine Johnson. She's in the back there. Good evening, Christine.
Okay.
So that's she's our new representative. So anything that you want to bring to council or any kind of notes, it would be good to talk with her. And I got an email just late this evening from a student from Cal Poly. I was there last week on a different kind of meeting, but afterwards I was able to meet with a couple of professors and pitched our needs assessment and so forth, and we actually landed a group. So we have a team of three Cal Poly students that will be coming out this quarter to help us with a needs assessment. We have we'll kind of probably resurrect an old one that was given out and revamp that one and send it out to probably, I'm guessing, about 25 people for a pilot survey and then go full swing. So we have a limited amount of time, but we have a team of three from Cal Poly. That's very exciting for our department in the city. Thank you.
Oh, very good. Thank you, sir. Okay. So I guess we'll do some presentations now, if we may.
Hey, your first presentation is from Adopt a Park Group. There's two of them this evening. The first is from Bayshore Bluffs. This is the Eco Rotary Club, Eco Rotary of Morro Bay, officially. And to represent that group is Trina Doherty. She's here, and she'll be explaining a little bit about the group and what they do and where they meet and how you can get involved in the group and what they do as far as the Adopt a Park program. And the park that they've adopted is Bayshore Bluffs. So I'll turn it over now. If Trina could come up to the front. Thanks, Trina.
Hello, Commission and viewers. So I am Trina Doherty, the president of Eco Rotary Club of Morro Bay, and as a club, we adopted Bayshore Bluffs Park near the beginning of our club history. We're about 3 years old, a little over 3.5 years old. We are a Rotary Club. We just have an eco focus. So we educate and present our community with eco-focused programs, projects, and our own practices. And we are so happy to be able to participate in the Adopt a Park program out at Bayshore Bluffs. Several of our members will go out at least once a month and rake the path and clean up the trash. And it's a pretty great program. We many of our members go out other times of the besides our work days. And I would like to give a shout out to the Gorilla Gardening Club also, because they work out there. And the park has really improved over the years. So one of the great awards besides this presentation is that, or reward I should say, is that many of the people, the visitors out at the park while we're out there, comment to us, thank you so much for cleaning up the park. It's really nice for them. And the dogs, you know, people are very attentive to their dogs, and they use the Mitt Mutt program, thank goodness. So it's really improved the park, and we're happy about that. So Eco Rotary is a small club, small Rotary club. We meet twice a month on the second and fourth Thursdays of each month at the Morro Bay Community Center in the lounge from 5:30 to 6:30. We always have a great program. Guests are always welcome. And we have other projects and things that we're always up to, one of them being the Eco Fair, the Green Light Eco Fair, which this year will have the third annual Eco Fair, and it's coming up on May 31st. It's held at St. Timothy's in the afternoon on that Sunday. We have all kinds of vendors, agencies, organizations, kids' activities, and all with an eco focus. So, Joe, thank you very much on behalf of the Eco Club, and thanks for the certificate that, oh, a picture? Really? Okay. Okay, photo op.
Photo op. Okay, if all the commissioners would stand up and pull in towards the center.
Oh, can we have a copy of this?
Oh, okay. It's going to cost you. Yeah. Nobody here? Okay. She's been to one. All right, thank you very much. People like you and organizations like yours that make this community a community.
Puts the name in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
I wanted to thank everybody in the audience for bearing with us. I think this is an important thing for us to recognize the groups that come out and volunteer on a weekly and a monthly basis. The Adopt a Park program has expanded in the last couple years. Back in 2008, I think we had just one group, the Yacht Club, down at Tidelands Park. And since then, we've expanded, and it's just been an incredible community outreach. And to have groups like the Eco Rotary come out and help us out has just been terrific. The next group is the Morro Bay Garden Club. And the Morro Bay Garden Club has been well established, and they resurrected the Dahlia Days. I want to steal all Jen's thunder. But their adoptive park area has been the entrance to the Harbor Walk. So if you go down to the Harbor Walk, there really is kind of an entrance, and it's down by right above Mother's Beach, just south of Coleman Park. So it's right, there's a parking lot there, and there's an entrance there. And to represent the Morro Bay Garden Club is Jan Goldman. Thanks, Jan.
Thank you, Joe. I'm from the Morro Bay Garden Club. I'm the vice president this year. Seems like I'm always some officer. And as Joe said, our big thing that we do is the Dahlia Days. But in between Dahlia Days, we have a regular monthly meetings, the third Tuesday of every month. We meet at the room behind Coalesce Bookstore at 10 o'clock. And we focus on learning different things about plants, and especially the native plants in town, and trying to beautify spaces. We started the Harbor Walk entrance several years ago, and now it's gotten where there's some pretty big work that needs to be done, so we usually have guerrilla gardeners help us. And we've also adopted another park with guerrilla gardeners, and that's the one up on Shasta and Dune, at the corner of Shasta and Dune, and where they have the tables. And the fruit trees that are there are all for the community. When you see ripe fruit on the trees, please help yourself if you'd like. But anyway, those are the two things. And if you'd like to join the Garden Club, you can call 772-7985, and I will tell you what the current things are that we're into. Thank you, Joe.
Okay, thank you very much.
Oh.
You come up here to get your picture taken. Thank you very much. Yeah. Oh, you did. Yes, yeah. You look better than me.
You do a lot more than that.
Yeah, thank you, and thank your organization very much. You know, we'd like to thank all the organizations and all the citizens of this town that do the things that make it a community by helping out and picking up trash when they see it and taking care of our nice little town here. Thank you all. I think we're now we're going to open public comment period. Do we have any people have? Huh? Yes, you have a 3-minute limit on that. So, anybody like to come up and? All right, thank you, ma'am. Please state your name, please, and give us your... you have handouts, okay.
Hi, my name is Kathy Thomas, and I'm from Morro Bay. And I presented to you, I'm not sure if it was the same board or not, but I presented to you about a year ago regarding pickleball. And the nice news is that since then, it's now in Morro Bay. Morro Bay Senior Citizens Incorporated has sponsored us and funded us for court for nets and paddles and balls. Parks has gotten us courts, so we were able to play. Right now we're up to 3 days a week. We started out officially in October. We played every Tuesday and Thursday, October, November, December. Then in January we decided to add Monday. If you look at one of the handouts there, it's an attendance list. And you'll see that we started out with about 11 or 12 people, which was actually kind of surprising that we had that many. It eventually went up to about 15, 16, and then in December we were up around 17, 18, pretty consistently, and now we're in the 20s. We added the Monday, and the first Monday we had 12, the second Monday we had 22. This past couple of weeks we've had anywhere from 21, today we had 26. So we are growing like crazy, and the problem that we have is that we only have 3 usable courts. So we have 3 courts at Del Mar Park, which is a great venue. We're asking for more courts. We would like to have 2 more courts at least out on the basketball court stripe so that we can set up out there. Right now we're setting up our own nets out there and our own tape so that the beginners can be out there and the regular players can be inside. But what I'm giving you also are handouts on the national, California, San Luis Obispo, and Morro Bay statistics, so that you can see the economic advantage as well as how fast this sport is growing. It's been around for 50 years, but I would say the last 5 years has been when it's just taken off, particularly in California. 3 years ago, there was only 1 venue for pickleball, and that was Cambria. Now there are 11. 8 are public, 3 are private. Cambria has just recently moved forward with getting 6 permanent dedicated courts. Right now, the only dedicated courts that are public are in Paso. So we're hoping that someday we're going to also have dedicated courts. Right now, we have striped courts and we have dedicated times, but we don't have dedicated courts, which are permanent nets and courts to play on, and we need that if we ever want to have a tournament here. So if you look at the statistics, you'll see that it starts nationally, comes down to our local. The reason that Del Mar Park is so nice is because, first of all, the weather in Morro Bay is perfect, and we're running, 60 degrees plus or minus 10 all the time. The only problem we have really right now at Del Mar Park is occasionally the wind comes up, and when the wind comes up, it comes up pretty strong. We don't have a windbreak in the area that we're in, but the Morro Bay Pickleball Club has a motto, and that's anybody can do it in good weather. So we do it no matter what. You also have handouts on the benefits, health. It's available to all economic groups, all ages. You have a handout on court modifications. Basically, four pickleball courts can fit on one tennis court. And we're asking just to have one tennis court striped over at Monty Young because right now we can't play on weekends. And we would like to have that done. We don't need a net because you just lower the tennis net by moving the center strap over. It's, you know, economically feasible, et cetera. So what I'm hoping is that you will take a look at all of this, and I can't obviously go through it all in 3 minutes, but you've got a lot of information there, and I will happily give more to Joe anytime he wants it. And if you have any questions, I do have other people who would like to come up and speak too, if that's okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much for your time.
Good evening. I'm Robert Thomas. I'm her other half. But I would like to, I presented to the City Council 2 days ago a thought. I'm not an expert on it, but this is my thought process. Pickleball is becoming a destination sport for a lot of tourists. There are these people in their $250,000 motorhomes that go place to place and play in tournaments. Paso tried to put on a small tournament for just 805 area code, and they had people from Hawaii, LA, and San Francisco trying to arrive to play. We have the access to the property that's adjacent to the Senior Citizen Center and the rec department, the fields and the playground. If you put in a half a dozen pickleball courts there, you will pack this town with tournaments. Two different ways of viewing it. You can view it for, as we all do, as we want to be able to play pickleball here and we would like dedicated courts. But if you look at it from the big point of view, nobody in their right mind plays pickleball in the middle of the afternoon in Paso in the middle of the summer. We have weather year-round. Right now, there are people here who are not from Morro Bay, but they come here, play pickleball, and then go out to lunch. That's one part of the aspect. If we have permanent courts, we're going to be drawing people from Paso and all over the hill and all over to come to play here, and they'll go to lunch. If we have courts that are near downtown, near Morro Bay Boulevard, it's going to draw people to there, and then they're going to go get an ice cream at Frost or Freeze or wherever else before they go home. That's the daily advantage of having courts in that sort of location. Long term is the big tournaments. If we can move quickly before every other good date is taken, and Morro Bay can look at our tourism track and say, okay, when don't we have full hotel rooms? When don't we have, and set up tournaments twice a year. These are the days we're going to have week-long tournaments, and they tournaments last a week. If you have the right facilities. I cannot tell you what those facilities are, but the Pickleball Association of America can. They have them in St. George, Utah, where they bring in thousands of people. If we get ahead of the curve and set up the right courts, because we have the weather, we have hotels, we have restaurants, we can make this a pickleball destination. We have people calling us, Kathy, from Colorado. She got another call yesterday. When are your pickleball courts available? Because we're going to come spend 2 months here. This is what we can make if we choose to do so. And it's just a case of whether we want to build the courts so that people will come, because they will come. But that's my thought on the process. I just want to go play, and I'm not an expert. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Joe Hilden from Cambria. I'm the ambassador for pickleball there. And what I admire about your town is it's very sports orientated. You encourage your town and all your people to get out of the house and exercise. You provide them wonderful parks and facilities and these bike paths and hiking trails. You guys have been right at the front, as far as I'm concerned. We moved here 20 years ago, and we love everything about the Central Kingdom. But you guys, I don't want you to drop the ball on pickleball. Living in Cambria, I'm very jealous of your parks and your facilities. We're struggling down there to build courts privately funded. My wife's going to go into that. But this is a great opportunity for your town to get in, like the gentleman in front of me just said, get in there and become a destination for this sport. My wife and I travel all over, and we've played in all the western states. Nobody has weather to match the Central Kingdom. And all these people that are playing so much in Arizona and Coachella Valley, God, a week, and we could have the tournament in Morro Bay for a week. 60 degrees is high. I mean, they're going to love it. This place will be packed with people. And it blew me away when you said the wrestling tournament has 68 high schools. Did I hear you right? I mean, a town your size, that's phenomenal, the way you guys can encourage it. I know you have big basketball tournaments, and you're well-rounded. All you need is pickleball. Thank you.
Okay, excuse me. I'm going to ask my question. Okay.
Hello, I'm Taylor Hilden from Cambria, and I'm the ambassador's wife. And that's not a new HBO series. wanted to call, come here tonight in support of the Morro Bay Pickleball Group. They have done a phenomenal job in a very short period of time to build pickleball in your community. And when Joseph and I started our club three years ago, April, we were the only ones in the county with pickleball going on as a club. Now there are 11 places to play, and soon the tennis ranch in Templeton will have designated courts. So we understand there are some possibilities that you all can consider to put designated courts here in Morro Bay. So we would love to support that effort, and also any possible tennis courts that aren't being used that you could convert to pickleball courts would be in the best interest of your community. On Tuesday, I was sitting with a woman you might know called Deborah Wolf. She's the vice president, at Cuesta College. And we were talking about pickleball because she was very familiar with it. Her sister lives in Washington and has a court in her backyard. And we were talking about the conversion of tennis courts all across the country at community colleges. They have dropped the tennis program as of 2 years ago at Cuesta College. And she said they have no intention of bringing it back. And they had just spent $30,000 rehabbing those existing courts. She said, we would love to have pickleball there. Somebody would put it on. So all across the country, colleges are dropping tennis from their curriculum. So pickleball is the future. And I want to congratulate all of you here tonight on your wisdom for seriously converting courts, because we're in the process right now of building 6 courts, privately funded, as my husband said, on school property. When it's finished, it'll belong to the school district. It won't even belong to us. And the dollar figure for that is just under $200,000. So I think you can convert a few existing tennis courts out at Del Mar Park or other locations for significantly less. So highly encourage it. Thanks for listening.
Okay, thank you very much.
Hi, my name's Ed Boyce. I'm a pickleball player. And I have a pickleball racket for you guys to see, okay? And I have a pickleball in here somewhere. I wanted to show you what those look like, too. Mm-hmm. And I started playing pickleball in Ogden, Utah in 2010. They had a club. They started, and they actually made rackets that had Ogden pickleball at them. Now, this racket, my associates here think it makes a lot of funny noises when I hit the ball with it. but it still works. And I just wanted to tell you that this is an expanding sport. I mean, I started in Ogden in 2010. We had about 12 people that started. I think they have 200 in their club now. And I moved here a year ago, and I was so pleased that Catherine and Bob took it upon themselves to start it here and be part of an ongoing business and an ongoing thing that I think could add to Morro Bay's recreation eco-thinking here that we have in Morro Bay, and I'm excited about it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Good evening. My name is Linda Merrill, and I've lived in Morro Bay for 30 years. Good evening, commissioners. I want to ask you all not to convert any time a tennis player, and I'm asking you not to convert any tennis club, any tennis courts to pickleball. We work for the courts. We've been playing tennis on these courts like for 20 years. Excuse me, I'm sort of emotional. And it's really difficult for me to hear people come into the community. And I love your sport, don't get me wrong. I love sports. And I really, you know, commend you all for working so hard for this. But we have very few tennis courts left. After we only have a couple of courts at Monty Young with surfaces most of us enjoy playing on, and then the Del Mar Marport courts do not work for most players. We have been playing here, and we have like 50 to 60 members of Surfside Tennis Club, and we play the courts constantly. Even if you get there and there aren't people there right then, there will be people there shortly. So I ask you not to convert any of our tennis courts to pickleball. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any more comments?
Hello, I'm Jeff Napier. I'm a tourist. I came with my wife in an RV, and we were passing through on our way to play pickleball all this winter in Arizona, where many communities have even 20 and 24 pickleball courts, and they're crowded. But we came to Morro Bay, and we discovered the pickleball that is already happening here, and we decided to stay for the winter, so we'll be spending our disposable income here in this community. And just to address the concept of converting tennis courts, there is a very easy way to do that. All you have to do is paint additional stripes in a color like blue or green that doesn't conflict with the stripes that are there. And otherwise, the tennis court can be utilized as is, so it doesn't necessarily adversely affect any tennis play that's happening. Although, every time I've been in the park here, I've only seen the occasional players on the tennis courts. It seems that there's much more interest these days in pickleball than there is in tennis. That is about it. Oh, I just also wanted to mention that pickleball is it's been regarded as the fastest growing sport in America. I don't know who's compiled that information, but I've heard that several times. And I think one of the reasons is because it's a very safe sport. You know, in comparison to other sports where people, you know, have considerable injuries, that's very uncommon in pickleball. And that's one of the reasons that it appeals not only to the young crowd, but to the elderly crowd as well. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
I'm Julie Brewer. I moved here a year and a half ago about, and a knee injury moved me into pickle, and I'm a total junkie about it. So before Morro Bay started, I was going to Cambria, I go to Paso, Atascadero, Pismo, all of them. I love the Morro Bay courts, and I just wanted to add another element. I typically meet up with a girlfriend afterwards and have lunch, explore the area. I've gotten to know Pismo, Paso, Cambria, So I'm spending money. I still work full time, run out and play pickle when I can, but I'm spending money and exploring the area too. So just for further consideration in terms of getting people here to walk the streets, see the stores, eat some lunch, another opportunity there too. Love it. Hope you could do more with it.
Thank you.
Hello, I'm Bruce Verdrigan. I'm a retired teacher. I taught at Morro Bay High School for 33 years. My wife's also a teacher. She's still working, and she's in the back there, and she teaches PE. And coming at it from an educational perspective, she's teaching her students, PE students, how to play pickleball. And I just talked today with Billy Clough, the PE teacher up in Cambria, and he's doing the same thing, intermingling his students with the pickleball players that play up in Cambria. And so they have this intergenerational mix going, which I think is very healthy. So it's not just older people that are playing. Younger people are getting interested, too. And to follow up some of the other comments, the idea that pickleball is something that anybody can come up and pick up and have fun with it right away. It doesn't take the long skill level development that other sports may take. And here's another idea. I was talking to the president of the school board for San Luis Coastal, Jim Quesenberry, and he mentioned that they're going to tear the tennis courts down in Morro Bay, and with the passage of the bond, they're going to build new tennis courts that are more specific and fit the size regulations required by CIF. A possibility that I was thinking would be to take the deconstruction costs that it's going to take to tear those courts down. They already have the benches, the walls, the wind block, the fences, everything's in place. Take that money, instead of using that money to tear them down, use that money to resurface them and turn them into pickleball courts. It would be a small move. And then it would also allow the students to use them for PE. But I was thinking that this commission, this board here could maybe petition, try and work with San Luis Coastal in some kind of a symbiotic relationship where the community, you opened up to the community and they could work there, maybe pay a modest fee or something to use those courts and recycle those courts. So that's an idea. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Is there any more public comment?
Good evening. My name's Nancy Wise, and I am a retired teacher who worked with all different kinds of grade levels as well as children with special needs. And pickleball, as the gentleman said, is a sport that can be more easily picked up by a wide range of skill levels, age levels, ability levels, and for that reason, it certainly is a very suitable sport to be promoting here in Morro Bay. Also, the conversion of courts or the striping of tennis courts so that both tennis and pickleball could be played on those courts seems to me to be a very efficient way of using current park space. Ideally, I've been a longtime tennis player and now an avid pickleball player as well. Dedicated courts are absolutely the best. They will be much better for attracting more and more people and tournaments and things of that sort, as has already been said tonight. But even if you end up in a situation where you have some dedicated courts and some courts that have both types of striping, yes, for a tennis player, it's going to take some getting used to. There's no doubt about that. But when you think about the amount of space you have, the monies you have, and how you can make your parks the most usable by the most number of people, then making them multi-use seems to be sensible, as well as then having some areas that are dedicated for one or the other. So I appreciate the support you've already given pickleball and the funds that you've given us and the striping of the courts. Unfortunately, the five courts were put too close together, so we really only have three courts. But even that could be addressed in some way to improve that situation. But we're loving it. I'm as I said, retired just a couple of years ago, moved to Morro Bay, remodeled the place, and we're going to be there till they cart us off. So we've got hopefully a good long number of years to continue to play pickleball and to help encourage other people to join in on this very fast-moving and fast-growing sport. So thank you very much for your support.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Nancy Bedrigan, and I'm the PE art teacher at Laguna Middle School. Currently, we have been teaching pickleball for 10 years at Laguna Middle School. And my students, I have one class, and then I have four art. They are so competitive. We have three levels, beginners, intermediates, and competitive. They are so eager to play past the 3 weeks that we have our unit that we play every Wednesday inside the gym. So they're eager to join tournaments around the county. Their parents are willing to bring them. I tell them every Sunday I am going up to Cambria to play a wonderful group of people up there, and that's my only day of pickleball I get. But I also would like to have you know that this is a young sport, and the students I service, a lot of them don't play football, volleyball, basketball. They don't swim, but they can play pickleball. They love it. And so I love for them to have an opportunity close by. Morro Bay, Cambria is a little far for them to go, you know, on a Sunday. And they would be here, and their parents would support them. And it is a fast-growing sport, and it's for young people also. I love that age level. They love it. I would open up the gym every lunchtime, but Wednesday is our day that we get to play. So everyone that has spoken today has said the truth. In the summertime, I'm up in Mount Shasta, California, Northern California, and there's four tennis courts. They've all been converted to pickleball. They use a dark blue line. They have a great rapport with the tennis players and the pickleballs. So that works up there. And I've seen it work. I've been up there 5 summers, and, you know, we share the courts with the tennis players. There's a one court always available, and if more tennis players come, we move over. So there's that wonderful courtesy that we give the tennis players in Mount Shasta. So thank you for listening.
Okay, you're welcome. Thank you.
Yet another pickleballer. My name's Karen Schwarzman. I have lived in Morro Bay since December. I'm a retired school nurse from Los Angeles. And my passion in Los Angeles was paddle tennis, and I was hoping for something similar here, and I found it in pickleball. And I was trying to think, not to repeat what people have said, but there are a lot of advantages I can see to pickleball. I worked also with special ed kids, and since it's easy to play, there are a lot of grandparents who attend their grandkids in Morro Bay, and it's easier for kids to cover a small court than a big court. The racket is smaller, so it's easier to wield, and the rules are pretty simple. Secondly, 37% of people in Morro Bay live alone, and I found that pickleball is a very social game. I've only been on the court a month, and I already know about the names of 10 people here in the area, and it's a very friendly group, very forgiving group. Kathy and Robert run a very tight ship. They help introduce new players to older players. They provide a good role model for court decorum. And as a school nurse, I think it's important that I say regular exercise increases the feel-good chemicals in the brain, which improves your mental health, your spiritual health, your physical health, and your social health. And I think we all can agree that we want to live as long as we can. Pickleball is one avenue toward that. So I hope by allocating more resources for pickleball here in Morro Bay, You will be extending a lifeline to people, baby boomers like me, and you're getting 10,000 baby boomers a day in the U.S., another avenue to enjoy outdoor sports. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Carl Furson. I'm president of the Surfside Tennis Club. We have about 70 members. Surfside members kind of overlap the play day tennis here in Morro Bay. We play on Tuesday and Friday as play day tennis at the Monte Young courts. The sentiment of the group is go a little bit slow about converting the courts or painting additional stripes. I think there's some fear. They haven't seen what that would actually do to the play. I think it would be confusing, but most of us learn in kindergarten we're supposed to share. So, yeah, I didn't go to kindergarten, but I picked it up someplace along the way. At Play Day Tennis, we do pay $1 each time we come, and we support the courts at Monte Young. I don't know. The format here doesn't seem to allow us to ask questions of the pickleball players. We do not. A number of us do not like the new Del Mar court surfaces. I felt unsafe on them. Others can give their preferences. But I was going to ask, first of all, whether is there, when you have play day pickleball, do you charge the people to come and play? That's something that's supporting the courts at Monte Young, and feel a little bit, we've made some investments in that as well. The other thing is, can you play pickleball on a soft surface like the courts at Del Mar? Why wouldn't they be the ones that would be restriped first? And finally, I got a chance to be here in front of you. I'd like to ask for, since we do pay for this maintenance of the courts, or to help the maintenance of the courts at Monte Young, we have some needs there, and so I'm going to take just a minute. I am in favor of pickleball, by the way. I love to hear what they're doing. I wish it was someplace else than Monte Young. But the chain link fence there is getting in bad repair, especially in the bottom wires on the east and west sides of the court. Some in this last storm, it appears that the north fence has been bent. And the poles are going away from the court. The pine needles from the trees continue to be a hazard, even though it's done once a month. Sometimes it is not done where the needles are removed. That's a hazard for the tennis players as well as would be for a pickleball. I'd like you to look. I've got a list, Joe. I'm going to give you the list. Yeah. I'd like you to look at the pruning of the Monterey pines there. One of them was done very nicely. The other one, I do have taken horticulture classes. I know how to prune. The other one was done poorly, and it's adding to the needles. The net straps on the south net need to be fixed. The drainage canal at the west end of the court is constantly being filled with needles and is flooding because the grate is gone. And the windscreens are getting old, and they need to be hog-ringed again. So I'm going to give that list to you. And Al Romero's a pickleball player and a tennis player. He plays at Play Day Tennis. And
okay.
I'm going to give him a copy, too, to keep your feet to the fire, you know.
Okay, well, thank you. We appreciate your comments. You can go online to the Morro Bay website and let us know if you have problems with any of the parks and the facilities That'd be more appropriate to address it that way than.
My final comment. Let's go gradual on the restriping of the courts. Pickleball, hooray. I'd like to see lots of players here in Morro Bay. Draw all those tourists, bring their money.
Okay. Thank you very much for your comments. Do we have any more?
Good evening. My name is Susan Babcock, and I taught kindergarten for 40 years in San Luis Coastal, so I think we can all share. I am really here in support of pickleball and also to thank you for what you've done for us so far. I mean, we started with nothing. And also to thank Kathy and Robert Thomas for all this hours and time. This sport would not be in Morro Bay if it weren't for them. So thank you. We appreciate any help you can give us. Thanks.
Thank you.
My name is Terry Swartz. I'm a resident of Morro Bay. We bought a home actually near Monte Young because we're tennis players. But if you see my shirt, it's pickleball. I can remember a year ago when I met Kathy Thomas and she told me about her plans to bring pickleball and maybe we could restripe a tennis court. I was devastated. I said, no, we can't do that. I'm a tennis player. And I must admit that since I started playing pickleball, I've not picked up my tennis racket. It is a fast-moving sport and fun. I think there's room for both, and I actually would encourage you to look to striping Monte Young as well so that we can share both. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We have some more.
Hello, Council. My name is Tom Riley. I am a citizen here in Morro Bay. I'm part of the Surfside Tennis Club. I think one of the difficulties of pickleball conversion on tennis courts is that the net is lower. And to move that net up and down is a very big process. And I know because I put new nets up, new tennis nets on courts. Not good for the nets. The nets are very expensive. Surfside pays for our own nets. We also contribute to Morro Bay High School to the men's and women's tennis program. We also join their big tournament that they have at the high school to raise more money for the men's and women's tennis club. 15 of us played in their tournament, which was packed all day long on a Saturday. They had 7,500 people there playing in their tournament, which is great because they raised lots of funds for the men's and women's tennis program at Morro Bay. And I think that striping tennis courts, I know the pickleball players don't think that's distracting because they're smaller courts, half the size. But if you're playing tennis and you're looking down to hit a ball along the line in the alley or in the service court and you've got other lines on that court, it provides a visual problem, in my opinion. And so we need to recognize that. Pickleball is a great sport. I play a lot of sports. I played pickleball. I think it's a fun sport. I just think they need to be on different courts. And if there's more courts available for pickleball, that's great. I'm all for that. I just think that they need to be separate courts. And also, I think it's good for the community, for people to get involved. We've got people coming in from out of state as well playing with us that we have a website. People contact us on our website. They find out where we play. They come and play tennis with us. So it's a great way for everybody to benefit, to get out and play more sports and have a great time. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any more public comment?
No. Hello. My name is Sylvia DeSantis. I've been a member of resident of Morro Bay for almost 30 years, worked at the power plant, and I've used those Monte Young courts a lot. That's because I like tennis, but I would also like pickleball, and I was actually going to try it. I just never got around to doing it. The thing is that there are only a few courts in Morro Bay, okay? They just built these two at Del Mar, but From what I understand, most people don't like the surface. I don't mind it, but I don't play there. It's too far for me to go there. I mean, you know, I'm kind of a bike rider, so I just ride my bike down to Monte Young and play 3, 4, 5 days a week. I even play a Los Sosos. But I just want to say that those are the only two courts in town for tennis. And tennis is still a popular sport, believe it or not. And I'm all for pickleball, and I'm all for, you know, striping Del Mar probably, since it's rarely used compared to these Monte Young courts, which are, I see them empty from time to time, but sometimes you need both courts, and on Tuesdays and Fridays you definitely do. And I speak for quite a few people that still are interested in the old game of tennis. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We have one more.
Do you permit people to talk twice?
No.
No.
Never. Okay.
I'm sorry.
No questions even. I was just going to say that we go Saturday courts are.
I'm sorry, but we can't go out of order like that. I'm sorry. All right. Is there anyone else who would like to have public comment? Okay, then the public comment period is now closed. Thank you very much. We'll take all your information in consideration. Thank you. Oh, wait, do the commissioners have any? Are we going to ask questions now? Oh, okay, commissioners.
I have a question. Is anyone in the pickleball group consider looking into Coleman Park? Hard surface? Yes. Of course.
I'd be happy to. I can respond to that if you'd like me to.
We did look at Coleman Park, and the surface was very in bad shape, so it was going to cost a lot of money to try and resurface it. It also slopes. There wasn't enough space between the fences. We would have had a lot of. We couldn't have had as many courts, and they wouldn't have been in very good condition. And it was a lot easier to go to the hockey rink and stripe those courts. It's a perfect venue. It's a great venue in that regard. The tennis courts at Del Mar Park would be great. The surface is bad because it's slippery and dogs use it. For some reason, they don't go to the dog park. And we spent a lot of time. I'm a tennis player too, and I spent a lot of time cleaning up after these dogs. And you can't get it up off the surface. I even sent a note to you about that about a year ago because I was so upset about it. The other thing I would like to address is the nets on tennis courts. All you do is move the stripe over 4 spaces. You don't take the net up and down. You move the center stripe over 4 spaces. It lowers it to the 34 inches that pickleball requires. Yeah, 2 inches lower is all it is.
Okay.
So, any other questions, or does that answer your?
I have a question. First, you mentioned you can put 4 pickleball courts on a tennis court.
You can, yeah.
How do you do that if you lower the net?
Well, no, you have to have net, your own nets. You put up your own nets.
Exactly. That's why.
Yeah.
That's why. Then you mentioned you lower the tennis court, so I'm confused.
Well,
whether you don't or you do.
If you look at the brochures I gave you, the information, I showed how you can convert 1 tennis court to 1 pickleball court. And there you don't need to get any other nets. You just use the tennis net.
Uh-huh.
You can convert to 2 by using both sides. You can also convert to 3 and 4. And there's diagrams on there that show you how to do that very easily. I'm not sure Monte Young would ever convert to 4 per court simply because of the space around the tennis court. But they could convert 1 court to 1 pickleball court. We wouldn't have to do anything with the nets except move that center stripe over. And we're not asking to have, you know, and we just wanted it for a weekend play because that's the one time we don't have access to Del Mar Park. But I'd love to have the Del Mar Park tennis courts without the current surface and the dog
okay.
things.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Should I get a motion to put this as a future agenda item? So what I need. Public comment? It's not closed, right?
It's closed.
Any comments on public
comment? Any comments on public comments? You have any comment? No comment?
I'm one of the tennis coaches at Morro Bay High School, and I'm wondering what you're doing to get the youth involved in your program here in Morro Bay. I know Nancy has said what she's doing at Laguna, but do you have any thoughts or ideas about what you're doing for the youth to play pickleball?
One of the problems we have right now is the agreement that we won't use the courts on weekends. So half the population that, I'm sorry, have jobs, I don't normally talk that word, but people who have jobs can't generally play pickleball because they don't have access. We played during the week, and there aren't lights, etc. That's one of the problems with bringing in youth. During the holidays, when kids were out of school and we were playing, I had numerous kids that I was playing, showing the game to, and working couples were in, and they were interested in playing. But since we couldn't have them during the weekends, that's really a problem. And until we have some dedicated time on weekends that we can bring them in, and then we will have seminars, because I teach most of the seminars, and we'll bring seminars and we'll make a pitch towards the youth, because we do want to bring them in.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
I can understand how the tennis players feel threatened. Like you, one of the speakers said, there aren't too many courts here in town. And I think I could also see, as a tennis player myself, how the stripes would be distracting during a game. I also see some similarity to another issue we have in this town with a shortage of baseball fields. And what I'm told, there's not enough baseball fields to hold practices for our little league team. And that kind of crosses over into soccer fields. And so I just wanted to mention how there's a similarity there. And the little league team was encouraged to raise money so that they could make some more baseball fields. And so that was the conclusion for that issue. So I just put that forward because I see the similarity there. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you very much. Any other commissioners got anything to say? No? Okay. Then public comment is now closed. We thank you for your time. I'd like to maybe get a motion to put this as a future agenda item? And then direct staff to...
You probably need to address the future agenda item on E. And may I
okay.
And may I request a small break?
Okay, yes. We request a five-minute break. Okay, thank you. Yeah. So we're going to the consent calendar, and I guess somebody's going to...
Oh, give it to me. Oh, I'm starting to yawn.
Okay, we're back live here in Morro Bay at the Recreation and Parks Commission meeting. I'd like to thank everyone for their comments. It was good that we have people come down and participate, because that's what this is all about. So thank you very much. We're going to move on to the consent calendar. Does anyone want to pull any items?
I move we pull A4.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Ayes have it. To turn it over to Mr. Woods.
No. Could I make a move to file A1,
oh,
A2,
right.
A3, and A5 to file?
Yes.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Ayes have it. Thank you. Sorry about that.
Thank you, Chair Sedaris and Commission. Thank you. Thank you all. A4 is... our Recreation Park status report. It is, I think, at least 3 pages long. There are some items in here. If I don't cover your particular item that you want to talk about, please bring it up. On the first page, I want to bring your attention to some of the administrative policies and programs that we've been working on, updating our SOPs and our master plan. There's a film permits that's going to be that's still out there pending. Our sponsorship policy has yet to go to City Council, as you've already seen this a couple of times at the RPC, and we're looking to move it to City Council. And a couple of things that are pulled off of our agenda right now, which is the Northern Waterfront Improvement Plan, and we have also updated our fiscal sustainability program, but we're continuing to add to that. And later in the work program, you'll notice that we're shy a few different divisions than we have in the past. And this work program you're going to be seeing is 2015 and 16, And what you'll be missing is the maintenance division within the Recreation and Parks Department. So as far as street maintenance and fleet maintenance, street trees and creeks and storm drains, as well as facility maintenance and park maintenance, all that consolidated maintenance effort will be transferred into a public works department. So as a recreation department, we'll be concentrating almost all of our energy and our resources into our recreational programs and our delivery service. Later this evening, we'll talk about the Tidelands Park play structure. But please note that the bike park was presented to City Council on Tuesday night. It was the construction, repair, and maintenance MOU between the City of Morro Bay and the Central Coast Concerned Mountain Bikers. Your Commissioner Crowley was following that item to City Council, and I appreciate your attendance. Thank you. They had quite a few people came out for that particular item. It did pass unanimously with City Council. So we've entered into an agreement with the Central Coast Concerned Mountain Bikers in the City of Morro Bay for the construction, repair, and maintenance of a bike park, which is a huge step in a very positive direction. Things that still need to happen would be that group submitting their proper paperwork and drawings to the planning department for the planning permits. And so there are two MOUs that have been executed. One is the design and the permitting, and also the construction, repair, and maintenance and operation. So those two will give a lot of way in to the Planning Commission to approve this project and let move forward from there. We are continually working on our website. If you found some things on our website that are outdated, know that we are addressing them. And we are very active on Facebook. So if you've not been on Facebook lately, please log into Facebook, like our city page, and know that we've gone through extensive training. Facebook 101 was the course, I believe. All the city departments had representatives at this particular training, and we have designated time slots to be producing articles and I don't know what else they're called articles, I would imagine, and uploading those to Facebook. So you'll be getting three fresh ones every day, if not more. And so if you're not Facebooking.
News feeds.
Are there news feeds?
Or posts, yeah.
Okay, or posts. That's what they are. They're posts. I'm sorry. I didn't get 100% on the one-on-one class. But know that if you haven't been active on Facebook, you should get active because a lot of information from the city is going on by our Facebook page. And it's not just, hey, that's an interesting article, and hey, there's basketball registration that's starting today, or there's a tournament tomorrow, things like that. And there's a road closure. So there's also some emergency response items that we're putting on there so people know. So if you need information, our web page is great, but our Facebook is definitely most current and right now things that are happening right now. You've met with a couple of groups come here as far as community groups. One that I wanted to remind you of is the Morro Bay in Bloom. They're very active every Saturday, and not only are they doing the grounds around the tennis, around the library and the Chamber of Commerce, they also have adopted Centennial Parkway, as you know. And recently they've received a $5,000 grant from the National Estuary Program for rain harvesting. And so we were down there a couple Saturdays ago and dug out the area where the tank's going to go and put in some bays. And so that program, that project is moving right along. And they're getting ready to buy big tanks, and we're going to be diverting the water from the downspout into this tank, and then the tank will hold this rainwater for harvesting, and then electric pump will pump it out into a drip system, and we'll be watering the park with rainwater, and when it's not raining. So that's a very exciting project, and we have more. If you want to have more on that, just give me a call. I had mentioned about the maintenance division. We've done quite a few things with the city as far as patching potholes, but the most notable of late is the parklet on Main Street. And the parklet on Main Street was in today's paper. It's been on Facebook. It really has been the topic to talk about. It's, in my mind, it's what we've been looking for. It converts a space, a couple of parking spaces, and that's probably the most negative. But I think there's a lot of positive when we look at this parklet and what it brings. There's motorcycle parking that we didn't have on the north side. There's bike parking on the south side that takes bikes off the sidewalk. It allows some expansion of pedestrian use that they didn't have before. So there's a lot of positives, and there's a lot of business connection. And part of the LEAP program says, hey, this is a good thing to do. And to do it as a test, as a pilot project for 6 months to see how it goes, and then put in place how can we evaluate it and how do we move forward as far as more parklets or other areas that we want to designate as pedestrian-friendly. And I think that what we've heard in this town is a lot of pedestrian-friendly ideas. There's been ideas about closing down certain roads, realigning the parking, doing one way and making it. So a lot of that's going to culminate into a plan after this pilot program is over, and it hopes that that would be, it would be looked on favorably, it would be very positive, and we can move forward with something very similar. And I'm turning the page into our sports section, and that's we've got in the middle there, you look at a couple of programs that are happening at the middle school, boys volleyball, track and field. Track and field registration is going to start in March. And the middle school boys volleyball online registration is started on January the 12th. And know that all your middle school sports, boys and girls volleyball, cross country, track and field, as well as tennis, are all online registration. This minimizes our staff impact. The coaches are volunteers, and the transportation provided by the participant, or actually the participant's family. So we're looking, these programs are 100% cost recovery, and you'll see those in the program evaluations. I don't believe there's one here tonight, but when they come through, that will be in that area that you want to take a special note of. Adult softball league. The registration for the 2015 Spring Adult Softball League starts January the 26th. So that's right around the corner. The season will have about 12 games and will end with an end of the season tournament. And I'm
Joe, are you still using active.com for online registration or doing it in-house?
Yes, it is active. And if you went to our website, the City of Morro Bay, on the right-hand side is online registration on the very bottom. And you can click on that, and you can register for indoor classes. You can also look at facility availability. So if you were having a meeting or you wanted to know, you had a family reunion coming up, and you wanted to know if a certain park or a certain facility was available, you could click on that. But the online registration is on the same button, and you would get there through our website. So it is online and it is active.com. Active.com. That concludes A4. I'd be happy to answer any questions if the commission has any.
Does anyone get any questions?
Yeah, I have a question. About the parklets, is there a way for residents to voice their concerns or issue complaints about the parklet, or is it? Do we direct our correspondence to the city manager only, or who can residents talk to about the parklet? Who can they have that dialogue with?
That is a good question. Thank you. Right now, I would say that the best way to have your concerns heard would be to put them in writing. And so either an email or a letter, and I would address it to the city manager at this point. Because it's a pilot program and because it's a six-month, which it seems like a long time, but we all know that it's not really that long. And there's been some opinions that it should be longer. But I think if you wanted to have a dialogue, at least get some concerns, I would strongly suggest someone do that in writing and send it over to the city manager's office. He may redirect that, but I think that would be a good place to start.
Okay. That answers my question. Thank you.
Certainly.
I had a question. How many total parking spaces did it consume, the pilot program?
The total amount of parking that it consumed were two.
Okay. Two parking spots.
Two parking spots were consumed for the parklet, but we've added three motorcycle spots, which we didn't have before, and we took the bicycle rack and made bicycle parking on the south side of the parklet, which we didn't have before. Before it was bolted onto the sidewalk. So, in essence, moving some of the activity from the sidewalk into the parklet allows pedestrians to move more freely on the parking along the sidewalk, which I think has been a huge plus. Whether you like the parklet or not, it certainly has freed up that area. It is not exclusive to one particular business. It is open to the public, just like any other park would be. So if someone wanted to go there and not have coffee, they certainly could. And we are inviting anyone from the public who wants to sit, rest, or have an activity there, or meet someone there. They certainly could do that.
And I was down there today enjoying the parklet, and it was quite charming. And there were people from all walks of life, really. You know, when I first sat down, I thought, wow, this is an extension of Top Dog. That was my first impression. Mm-hmm. And then I wished, wow, you know, the parking spaces are gone. That was a bummer. And I wish we could add more. But overall, it was a very nice experience.
Good. Thank you. There's no more A4. I'll be looking for
yeah.
the commission to accept that for file.
Except find somebody to suggest we said, yeah. We need to have a motion to accept it for file.
I make a motion that we accept A4 as so presented.
All four?
Aye.
Aye.
I second.
Oh, second.
Aye.
Sorry. All four?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. It passes. Unanimous. Okay. So now are we moving to unfinished business, or would Joe for public for staff report?
I'm going to move on to B1, which is a public hearing. B1 is the 2015-16 draft of the work program. I'm getting some looks like I'm on the wrong spot.
Nope, you're doing fine.
The work program, obviously you know a little bit about the work program. 14-15, you did the draft of that one, and also did an updated status report you reviewed last November. This is a very rough draft of the work program for 2015-16. So I know it's kind of, wow, it's really out there, but realize it's your first look. I won't spend a whole lot of time in the detail of each division. I talked to you earlier this evening about the lightness of this particular document compared to last year's, where last year's included facility maintenance as well as park maintenance. This does not, but it does have a few capital projects in those categories, at least the parks category, towards the end of the last page of this particular document. The work program is something that we look at as far as what programs and services does the Recreation Parks Department deliver to the city, and how we deliver those, and maybe what the priority is. Are we missing something that the commission wants to add? This is the document in which we want to add it. I want to make note of the City Council's efforts in putting a lot of time into their goals and priorities. And their goals and priorities has been a workshop that council and staff have been engaged in, and last Tuesday was our first really official meeting, and it was at 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock, a couple hours, and we're going to follow up with another workshop on goals and priorities, or should I say goals and objectives, and that'll be on the 27th, I believe, the next city council, prior to that next city council meeting from 4 until 6. Staff has done quite a bit of work prior to that workshop, if you will, regarding our goals and our objectives to obtain those goals. If you don't have them from online, you can contact my office or you can go online and get them. It is definitely something that is noteworthy of this commission to look at. It's very true to what we're doing in our work program as far as goals and objectives. They aren't stated that way, but this is a delivery of service. So there is room for amendments to this particular document as City Council formulates and finishes and adopts their goals for the next 18 months, as well as the objectives to obtain those goals. So if, in fact, we're getting a goal of quality of life from City Council and there are objectives that go along with that, we want to make sure those are included in our work program. So we can say your priority is our priority, and our priority is what the staff is going to allocate resources and get done. And we're a little ahead of the game. We talked about Cal Poly and the needs assessment. Staff feels that we need to get the needs assessment done, and getting some support from Cal Poly is ideal for us. Whether it's an objective from City Council, I think it should happen anyhow. I believe it to be an objective of our departments, of our cities, and of our City Council to put a needs assessment out there and take a test of this community and where we want. It was very easy to know that pickleball certainly should be a sport or a program that we should be looking at to attract and to increase our resources so we can facilitate that need. But that's only one. There are probably more that we don't know about, and that's where the needs assessment would come into play. So if there's not any questions directly with the goals and objectives that City Council is working on, just know that they are working on them and that our work program for 15-16 most likely will be edited, either something's taken away or something's added, depending on the priorities the City Council is setting for us. And there's a lot of time, a lot of energy spent with those goals and objectives, and the trickle down should be there, and it should be of great importance for us to get those done. So with that being said, I would ask you to look at your work program, and I'd be happy, like I said earlier, it's a first look, it's a draft, and I don't feel that we need to go through item by item, but at the end of each section, I added some empty rows. So if you have something that you say, hey, I really want you guys to work on this service or provide this program, this is the document that we want to get them into. And if it comes to you after tonight, just send me an email and we'll put it in. So I would direct your attention to the first section, which is the admin section. And this section has grown quite a bit. I think we're up to like 26 items. So we'll be looking at, if you want to add an item, now's the time. If you say, hey, what is this one, and you have some questions about that, I'll do my best to answer those questions. But I think that typically we've done a more of a workshop, kind of a give and take back and forth, as opposed to me just regurgitating everything that's on this work program. So if you have some questions, feel free to jump in. The first section as far as admin and how we deliver service, and earlier Commissioner Coxwell asked about the active, and that's number one on our list, that we would continue to provide the registration with active. Now, just know that active is a contract that we have to provide that service, and we do all our registration with active, whether it's sports, class registration. Even our facility registration is in active, and it's when you can go online and you can get registration, but you also can see facility availability. When that contract comes up, we will be looking at that contract, just like we will with all the other contracts that our department is engaged in, and we need to review those. And what we'll be looking at with other departments within the city is who has what contract and when are they coming due, and should we renew it or not? And really questioning the status quo and saying, well, we've always done it with them, why don't we do it again? instead of, and what we should be saying is, hey, we're doing this contract. Why are we doing it? Is it being productive? Are we getting what we want? Is it beneficial to us, and is it an efficient way to use our resources? And I think those kind of questions are kind of going to come into play, and we're going to be able to look at all the contracts and compare with other departments. So not that everyone's doing active. I think we'll be the only ones that do active. But just to give you a little insight of how we're trying to start managing our contracts more efficiently and a little more globally within the cities, so we're not being redundant with any services and we're being more efficient with the public resources. So hopefully I've talked enough that you have some questions about number one. Please.
Okay, hi. So in item 26, that's great. You have provide support and partnership to the Estero Bay Community Pool Foundation. I'm wondering, since Measure D is passed, if it's important to also add an item that we will provide support and partnership with the school district as well.
Yes, it is very important.
Okay.
And the fact that we meet with them on a quarterly basis and once a year with the district office. We do have it listed, I believe, in number 12.
Number 12, okay.
We continue to work with the San Luis Coastal School District in collaboration and partnership on shared programs and facilities.
Okay, good.
So I definitely would share with you, and it's something that maybe those two come closer together. But I think that we had a meeting today with a potential partner in town regarding the pool. And we had the president from the Estero Bay Community Pool Foundation there, Val Seymour, and the meeting went really well. I didn't mean not to get back to you about how that meeting went, but it went very well and very progressive. And we're going to be meeting with the district on the 26th of this month, which is a week from Monday, to talk about pool and agreements and programs. And then we're well ahead of the game, but it is our belief that the sooner the better with getting some of the details worked out so we have time and we have the right players at the table so we can make the right decisions. Any other questions, Tom?
I was wondering also if, I didn't see it, if there is a support and provide partnership with the BMX bike park people. I didn't see that either.
I would hope so. I believe, I thought we had bike park group on here. I believe it is in here somewhere, but I'm going to write it on number 27,
okay,
just so we don't lose that marker and to collaborate with the, it's the CCCMB, Central Coast Concerned Mountain Bikers in the city. So continue to collaborate and work with the group.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other additions or amendments to the first section?
On the working with the school district, because of my involvement with the high school, I experience a lot of frustration in dealing with the city from other sports, other booster groups. And I don't know if it's falls on staff or just lack of communication I think the working relationship in facilities needs to be smoothed out a little bit. And it just may be the booster groups and the sports at the high school may not realize what it is that they need to do to request to use a city facility. But there is a level of frustration from those groups, and I would like to see it smoothed out some way. And it could be the problem could be all on the school side as opposed to the city side.
Thank you. Commissioner Coxwell, I would note that there is a transition going on now. However, at number 16, we have a manage and coordinate services to the public and city departments for reserving facilities, setups, and so forth. Saying that, I know that the booster clubs in general are not part of our joint facility use agreement. So they're handled like any other nonprofit organization. And I would hope that that wouldn't be true across the board, because I have heard some very good things, and I've heard some things that, hey, you need to work on this. So we will try to do a better job and giving those groups information about what they need to produce. A lot of times there's a different person each year, so the consistency isn't there. And the new person maybe isn't familiar with the insurance requirements, or I didn't know if I was to pick up a key, and those kind of things. So we're going to try to better educate that user group for what they need as far as so they're successful. Expectations are big. I had a long talk with our reservation person today about how we handle the transition and how we meet the expectation for the group that's coming in and the staff that's saying, hey, how can we help out? So meeting your expectations is something that's very big for us, and we will be redoing our application, and we're about almost to our final stages now. So it would better equip someone who's new and walk them through the process. And really, if it's A, then you need to go to C, D, and E. If it's not, then go down to F, that kind of thing. And I believe that would be very helpful with the process for those groups that have new people each year. But I certainly understand what you're saying and know that we certainly are addressing it.
Thank you. I think that the as you said, the new person each year, and they don't know how to do it. But at the same time, with Measure D passing, with the pool coming to fruition, there's going to be a lot of cross where the city wants to use more school facilities. So I think as long as we make it smooth both ways.
I think you got a good point, and I would certainly want to work with the booster clubs the best way we can, because it's such a direct relationship with the school district. And us working with the school district, we've been doing it back and forth for quite a while, so everyone kind of knows what's going on as far as our usage and whatnot. So how can we tie in the booster clubs to get them involved in that process would certainly help out. Any other questions or adds to the first section?
I have more of a comment I'd like to draw out under Division Recreation, Sports, and Fitness, Item 3. And I would just offer, from what I've been hearing from families, is that there is a big shortage of volunteer coaches. And it's sort of across the board between basketball, baseball, soccer, and parents are getting frustrated. And so I don't know what the solution is, but I thought it would be a good time to bring that up, and maybe if it's a matter of bringing some incentives, or I don't know what the solution is, but it's an issue.
And I would say this, that volunteer coaches are essential for our program. They are definitely essential. Some years in some sports, there's no issue. In other years, in certain sports, it's a big issue. And oftentimes, we would put out our part-time staff to help coach, sometimes one, sometimes two teams. So there is a need. And I would say that we haven't seen the need at every sport, but when there's a need, wow, what, there's a need, and it's a big deal. And we go back out and we solicit parents, but they're not always the most qualified, and they're not always the most trained to go out and deal with 8-9 kids.
Well, and I don't think parents have that much time anymore either. You know.
Well, it is something that we can address as far as staff goes, and how can we attract more volunteer coaches, and maybe maybe the pool of coaching from players, from the players' parents, is kind of drying up. And maybe we need to look at other groups to come and volunteer for us. And
that yeah, would be from what I hear, it's the same parents volunteering over and over again, and then they get burned out, and then there's nobody to replace them.
Okay.
Yeah.
So my suggestion on that would be to staff to let us banter around how can we attract a different clientele for coaching and not just always use the parents. How can we branch out? And that's a difficult thing. We have gone and used some volunteer coaching from Cal Poly in those sports, but that hasn't been always consistent, nor have we been able to attract them on a regular basis. So, but that's certainly something that we shouldn't give up on. So the students at Cuesta, the students at Cal Poly, and even the high school students, we've had some of them come out and coach the very young, like the fifth and sixth year olds. So it's something that we will certainly talk about at the staff level to try to expand our volunteer coaching opportunities. I think that's what I'm hearing. Okay.
I'd like to respond to that just for a minute if I could. Being a volunteer coach for, 15 years or whatever I was, we need to educate the parents or bring something in effect more, say, the park rec department, that if a coach is harassed for one reason, not letting the son play wherever the parent wants the kid to play or whatever, that they could come to the rec department and say, so Joe is harassing me. Maybe have a park person go out there during the game and observe, and at that time approach the parent and say, either you bring it under control or you're not allowed to the game. And that would encourage more people to coach, because just the other day I was listening to two different coaches talk to their volunteer coaches. They'd never do it again because of the parents harassing them. They felt terrible. And so I think we need to be more into tune to get the parents in line. And, they are volunteers, so they've got to realize that, and they're not professionals, so they're bound to make mistakes, but they need to, everybody's kid is not a hero, and they need to accept that and let the coach do his thing. I think that might help if we have a little more policing of the parents, I should say.
I have one quick comment.
Please, go ahead.
Are there any training of coaches, seminars, or some training we could provide for these amateur parent coaches so that they'd be better equipped to deal with these situations? That might be better than trying to police it.
Well, the staff has addressed both. And there is code of conduct that the parents sign prior to the start of every program, particularly when it comes to basketball or soccer. And there is training, and there is interventions when their situations are brought to staff's attention. We've had staff on site. So we try to address those issues when they're issues. We can't be everywhere all the time, and hence we have code of conduct. We try to educate people prior to. We've instituted GOT sportsmanship, and the sportsmanship is big. And right now, every team and every team's support group is going to be rated on sportsmanship. And that's important because we've had not only volunteer coaches but also paid referees that are younger kids, possibly in their first job, and they've been the same situation. So we try to educate those who are on the giving end, so to speak, of the consequences of their actions and really what we're trying to teach the kids. And it isn't so much the competition play to win. It's play and have fun and have sportsmanship and respect others. And, the list goes on and on and on. So we certainly, I don't take what you're saying lightly. I understand it's a concern. We have tried to address it in the past, know that there's been some efforts, and there will continue to be efforts. And if it's something that we need to put into our work program, then we will continue to work on sportsmanship, not only for players and coaches, but also parents. That's something that we will certainly put in here.
Joe, who is that person in the department that the parents would go to ask these questions or seek advice? Or
right now, we would direct those kind of questions to our sports supervisor, Karen Sweeney.
Thank you.
Okay.
I didn't hear anything else from the first item, administration. The second item, the second section is commission. If there are any changes as to that, if there isn't, then obviously the sports, recreational sports and fitness goes on to 16, always into 17. And then there are some blank rows in there for anything that you'd like to add. And maybe pickleball might be one of them. Well, we may have added pickleball to youth and senior services. Under number 10 on seniors, senior services, provide programs and services to senior population for community residents and non-residents. And maybe we add something very similar to this, maybe shift it from senior population over to sports and fitness and include all ages. Because what I was listening to tonight is that this isn't for seniors. Pickleball is for all ages.
Yes. Yeah, I see it is noted here under sports and fitness. B says expand pickleball play. So we are going to be looking into that, which is good.
This is, when you talk about B, this is a capital project, and we're looking on those. These are on the last page that chaired, second to the last page that Drew Sedaris is talking about, is the department capital project summary. And the fitness, sports and fitness is possibly do some fitness trails or equipment. And that was an idea that was, it's just thrown on. Remember, it's a draft, and we're looking for some input and saying, hey, it's a good idea, or it's a lousy idea, take it off. And the other would be to expand pickleball with the possibility of courts at Monty Young, Coleman, or indoor. Or if it becomes a future agenda item, the possibilities that I would like to present to you would be courts at the high school, courts at Morrow Elementary. What's the use at Cuesta? Are we going to look at indoor courts? We want to stick at outdoor courts. I would try to flush out every opportunity for you to look at. Converting courts at existing tennis courts would be one option. Designating certain pickleball areas for those courts only would be another option. Utilizing another facility, if we could, would be an option. So I'm going to try to throw those all out to you in a future agenda item. Hopefully we'll come back in March. But as far as this work program on 15 and 2016, do we want to expand the courts? I think we should keep it on there. I think mm-hmm. that a simple expansion would be to paint some courts lines on the basketball courts at Del Mar. And so really we could probably double. We have three now. We could probably go two or three more, at least two. So we'd have five out there. They wouldn't be the most ideal. They wouldn't be dedicated courts for pickleball. It would be more of a multi-use court. And the multi-use court and multi-use facilities is something that we're very accustomed to. Now, the tennis courts are single-use courts, if you don't include the dogs. I would say this, that staff has been on site, and I have discussed with members of the public that have dogs in the tennis courts to not do that. So we've been somewhat proactive, but not nearly enough if the situation continues. But the multi-use courts is something that we want to look at. But I think that expansion of the pickleball play and tennis pickleball play in those courts was something that would just stay on here.
Yeah, I would agree that it should stay on there. I would like to add, you know, the fact that baseball fields are in high demand and they are going over to Cayucas to use that field. So if we could add expansion of baseball fields, that would be, okay. I'm sure, welcome by the community.
And we can put it on there, and it's going to really, we'll try to fill in the rest of this. As far as, obviously, your request date would be is easy, but how much would it cost? Where would the funding come from? And those kind of options, we may not be able to say exactly who's going to pay for it, but at least we get it on here as an option saying, hey, we're looking for more baseball or fields, and where can we put them? And we never know what's going to come available, because certain things, you know, if there is a subdivision over at the Cloister, just west of Del Mar on Main Street, then there might be enough property there to build another baseball field or not. I'm not sure, but I think that we have it in our work program. At least we have it eyed. And as we get into our sponsorship policy and we start being more proactive as far as, hey, we have a need for a certain court or a certain kind of a field, would you like to help sponsor it? Yeah. For $5,000, you can name this and sponsor it. And so we've had some more options as opposed to just sitting back and waiting for it to come to us and really being more proactive as far as a sponsorship and really fulfilling what we're looking at needing. And as we get our needs assessment done, we really hone in on the fact that there's some things that we may or may not need.
Well, and you know, same thing with pickleball. They could get sponsorships, you know, to build their courts. Because to me, it's the same thing. I mean, they need to raise money to build their courts as much as the Little League needs to raise money for their baseball fields. To me, it's the same issue. I don't know. Maybe you see it differently.
No, I understand what you're saying. And I would say this for the pickleball courts that we do have, they were sponsored. And that's why there isn't a dollar a day to play pickleball, because it hasn't cost the city anything. We've designed this so that the sponsorship was the Senior Citizens Incorporated.
Oh, I see.
And through the Senior Citizens Incorporated, they received a grant from the Salvation Army of like a little under $1,000. So that, coupled with some of the funds that they had, they bought three different sets, a sports box, and they're providing the volunteer coordinator. You met her tonight, the ambassador, Catherine Thomas. And so they're orchestrating and running the program.
See, they're a great role model for how to organize, right, and get their needs met.
Right. So. And so when they came to us, we really tried to help them. We tried to get a couple birds. We wanted to help the seniors get more members and seniors. We wanted the seniors to reach out to a population that was still active, that didn't want to knit or quilt, which is awesome, by the way. But the fact that they were able to, hey, there's an active group of seniors, 50s, 60s, and even 70-year-olds, even 80-year-olds, that are playing something. And if they're playing pickleball, let's help them out. So it was really a win-win-win all the way around when the seniors sponsored pickleball. We actually transferred the risk as well. So the insurance that covers that program is the Senior Citizens Incorporated. Okay. They sponsor all the equipment, and they coordinate with a volunteer. So it's something that we want to emanate at other areas, and that's what we're trying to do.
Okay. Thank you, Joe.
Any other additions or subtractions or anything on the work program before we leave the work program? Because I know we have other business to do and tonight, because we certainly want to get to our other agenda items. Seeing none? So just know that as I conclude that if you take this home and read it and you say, hey, I really want to do this and that, send the email or drop by and see me and make sure I get the word so I can get it on the next presentation, and you will see this again. And there may be some edits and deletes that City Council's recommended for us to do. So I'll make sure that those get on our work program and that you know that they are a high priority for City Council for us to do. And if you have time to look at some of their goals and their objectives to those goals, and you have some input, I encourage you to come to their next workshop on the 27th at 4 o'clock in this very facility. And if you can't make that, at least send the word to me, and I can forward that information on to our city manager to make sure it's presented to City Council. Fair enough?
Yes, thank
and,
you.
And this is really a... If they really don't need a motion to accept this because it's a draft. So just know that we're going to come back to you with another draft in March, hopefully. It'll be a more conclusive and more precise work program for the fiscal year 2015-2016.
So
that was B1.
That was correct. Future agenda items? Oh, D1. Okay. May we have your staff report? Is that what we're looking to get?
I do have a staff report for D1. Thank you. D1 is a program evaluation for the annual holiday tree lighting. I did hear the C word. It is a holiday tree lighting, and it's not meant to offend anyone of any religion. I did get some emails this last go-around about it being a bit offensive to have a holiday tree lighting, and I thought it was very neutral. And the city does, and I was kind of contemplating that, and the city does observe Christmas Day. So there is that day that we do. But as far as the tree in City Park, we want it to be a non-denominational tree in celebration. Yes. We want anybody of any faith to be able to enjoy the tree and reflect on their own personal beliefs as opposed to something that it's supposed to represent. And what it represents is what you want it to represent. And that's why the name is the holiday tree lighting. So I just felt obligated to say that before I started in. The program cost, I would say that this is a 0% cost recovery. This is not a big, there's no cost to go to the holiday tree lighting. But what staff would like to say is that when there's 0% cost recovery, you have a larger community benefit. And when the community benefit is large enough that it's on the bottom of our pyramid, if you will, in our fiscal sustainability program, that the cost recovery is made up for by the community benefit. So I think that's when there's not a whole lot of money, then there's more community benefit. And conversely, as we go up the pyramid. But this program is, we solicit a lot of, we look for volunteers, and we look for donations to help offset the cost. There is some costs that go along with the program, $660 worth. The volunteering, the donations, we had $500 donations, and we had four people who volunteered for 2 hours each. So based on our state of California current values of volunteer time, that comes to just under $200. So as a gross receipt, a gross revenue total for the cost recovery is 106%. I would bring your attention down to the support costs, and everyone says, hey, well, what about the support costs? And I go through this because this is a very easy one to track. Other programs that you get may not be so easy. It's estimated at 200 participants, and I still believe, and staff, I always have to be corrected when these come up, that the time allocation for the program is changing. And as the time allocation goes, so does the cost allocation. So when you look at how much it costs, $2.57 per person, and you multiply it out, you get $514. Is that number a real true reflection of how much time staff is being spent on this program and participants? And that would be fielding phone calls and talking with people when they come in, and arranging program flyers and media releases and things like that. So that's the kind of support that we're talking about. So when you look at that support, when it's included in, it brings it down from 106% cost recovery to 60% cost recovery. And so we are looking at how can we improve this program, or how do we not improve this program and not do the program. So there's really two big options. I like the first option. I think that there is room for improvement. I think that we can improve it in the fact that we can get more sponsors. I think we can advertise and solicit more donations. I think we can hone in and fine-tune our cost allocation so that is a true reflection on what the cost recovery is for this program. The 0% cost recovery, we're not looking to make money, but we want to benefit the community. A few things to note that happened this last year. We had one performer. We had other performers that couldn't make it that night. And the choir from the high school has always been part of our program. They were scheduled to be somewhere else. We had a backup group that was going to come in, and they pulled out on the last minute. So it was very difficult for us to, hey, we can't just throw something together and make it look, you know, as professional as we want it to look. So I think that that hindered us as far as our performance on this particular program. Having the volunteer fulfill those significant roles and reading those terrific stories that we have that evening is something that's always worked out well, and we'd like to continue. I think that's important. I think that we would ask the fire department to maybe deliver that special person on a different and easier vehicle to get in and out of. Because the vehicle we brought last night was very difficult to get in and out of. It was really high up and took a lot of time, and it kind of takes away from the moment, I believe. We've already started working with some community groups to help us out for next year. We'd like to put in some more lights, not on the holiday tree, but underneath the tree. So that would mean the cost isn't very much. And also we're looking at some other light displays within the park itself, so that it's more than just a tree. We have other things that would be illuminated, and it may be Santa in a police car, Santa in a fire truck, Santa playing basketball, and there's a lot of different options for us out there, but they all cost money, and we'd be looking for some sponsorships. That's why we're starting early with that. And we also believe that our good recommendation would be to change this program from Saturday to a weekday prior to the holiday, to the Harbor, the Light Above Parade, pardon me. Because I saw a lot of cars, and this is always every year, a lot of cars come into town for the Light Above Parade. And they're too late for the holiday tree lighting, and it doesn't look like we have it together. And I think that if people started coming to town on Saturday and we already had our tree lit up, we already had lights in the park, hey, doesn't this place look great?
Yes.
How inviting is that? And so, and then people that participated in the holiday tree lighting wouldn't be torn between the programs. Hey, right. I'm flipping the coin, and the Light Above Parade is going to win out because I need to get a good spot. I need to get my kids fed. I need to get them dressed warm. I need to get down there. I need to park the car. There's a lot of things that go along with that program that may detract someone from saying, hey, I wanted to go to both. So the holiday tree lighting, if we put it on either the Friday before or some day that week before that Saturday, I think it would be beneficial. And staff, if I'm looking around, if the commission is kind of like nodding their head saying, yes, we're all for
the
it.
Friday before,
then that's,
yeah.
That's something that we'd be looking to do. Is there someone who wants to oppose? Okay. So it just seems like that recommendation is a strong recommendation.
Yes, it's a strong recommendation.
And staff believes that the community benefit is there. I think that we definitely want our community to, because if we're inviting people to this town, that's one thing, visitors. But what about the residents, and what about the seniors, and what about the folks who are working? It's their town. And to provide a program like this, it's not supposed to, I hate to say this, but it was axed in 2005, as a 0% cost recovery, and we shouldn't be doing it all. And so getting locals to donate some money and cover the cost has kept this program alive. And I think that we can continue if staff has the support that we need, we can really put it out there and really look for sponsorships and donations to say we really want to bang up, great job in the holiday tree lighting, and really show off the center of our town as visitors come for the lighted boat parade.
Yes.
And the citizens who live here, too, don't get me wrong.
Right. That's that. Definitely want to keep it.
The high school choir looked forward to doing this. If you get on their calendar soon enough with Ms. Wall with a date, they can respond. They did over 20 performances during the holiday season. So be first in line. Get them to sign up.
We'll definitely have that in our recommendation. Definitely. Thank you.
All right.
So I won't belabor it any further. There are five recommendations that that staff has performed for you, and I think that we covered all those this evening. So with that being said, I would look for a motion to accept this report for file.
I'll make a motion to accept this for file.
I'll second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? None.
I'd just like to make a comment about the holiday tree lighting. I was there. It was fantastic, I thought. And all the recommendations you said was kind of the problems that was brought up at that time with different people I talked to. And one of them was the PR release in the newspapers said tree lighting and the boat parade both at 6 o'clock. And so there's a lot of confusion. I said, if we have it on a different night, I think that would clarify that tremendously. Yeah. And maybe we get a lot more people out there to partake.
Thank you. And know that press release was not a release that we put out, obviously. but what can you do? And we fall victim to that on other occasions as well. So I think changing the date would certainly help clarify that. So I appreciate your comments.
D2. Tidlin's play structure.
Yeah, I'd be happy. I do have a small report for the play structure at Tidlin's Park. Okay. I also provided some PowerPoint pictures. You have them in your packet. I also have them on display. I'll just note by saying that the play structure at Tidlin's Park, it definitely needs a little help. Some of the imaginative nautical theme of Tidlin's Park play area has been an overwhelming success. The park was built in 1993. When it opened, when it was being developed, it was major opposition to that park being developed. And because of the use has been always been boat trailers and trucks, and that's where they parked. And now that we developed that park in 93, and I think people who were opposed are not even close to being opposed. They are totally in favor, and I think we see that with certain elements throughout the town. So enough of that. I can go on and on about that, but I wanted to say at Tidlin's Park, the play structure, when it was built in 93, has deteriorated. A lot of the structure, it was either concrete or it was wood. And the wooden structures just have not lasted, 25 years now. So has it been 25 years? About 20 years and some change, about 23, 24. So we've taken some of the structure out. There was a crow's nest, and that's been taken out. And there was a bridge, if you will, that went from the climbing pilings over to the boat. That was taken out. And basically when either we're going to repair structures to make it safe, or we're going to pull them out. And in this particular case, things were eliminated from that play area from time to time. We've identified that need. It's been a big need for us to address. Through the budget process, City Council has adopted and approved the allocations of some transfer of funds, so the governmental impact fees. We have some monies in there that are dedicated to parks. And after this transfer of $50,000, we're down to about $51,000. dollars remaining in that, and that's earmarked to go over and help out with the Del Mar parking lot. So it is very, very rare that we would solicit these funds and deplenish them down to close to zero, if we've ever done that. But right now we're in a situation where we need some improvements, and we've had some serious problems over at the parking lot at Del Mar, and it needs to be addressed. We've got some serious problems down at the play area, and we need to address them. This is not a $100,000, $200,000 fix. This is a $50,000 fix, and I'm going to ask you to make some decisions and to make some recommendations at the end of this presentation on what we think should go in here and what we should do immediately. So we have about $50,000 been transferred. It's in this project fund, and we've met with Playground, I think it's Rec West, and their rep, and this isn't the first go round. Miracle Equipment has been out. Steve Strachan from Central Coast Playgrounds has been out, and we have quite a few different options. And the immediate options back in 2008, 2009 were to remove all the elements within that play area and redesign it. Significant amount of money, more than the city could allocate at that time, and really changing the dynamics of that play structure and moving it in and out of the imaginative nautical theme, hanging on the nautical theme, but putting in things like slides and swings and something that we haven't had there before. And every time I've gone down there, and I've gone down there quite a bit, and I've talked with quite a few folks about that play, and they love the boat play area, the play structure. The boat is awesome. And when you see kids playing there, and they're all about imaginative play, it's just something about that, and it really does work. Because there's other parks that we have slides and swings and that kind of active type of play structures and elements, if you will, for them to use. And Del Mar is a prime example, and Lila Kaiser is another example, as well as City Park and Monty Young. So keeping this park imaginative and nautical is something that staff is hoping that you would agree with, and something that we have asked our consultant to draw up. So without getting into great detail of this, I'm going to bring up the pictures, and we can discuss some of the elements that are there now and what we'd like to do with these. And how much? And remember, we have $50,000, and the proposal that at the end of this is about $99,000. So, but there are a lot of ways we can reduce that and get exactly what we want in that play area for the amount of money that we're allocating. Excuse me. Titans Park play structure area. If you're not familiar with it, it kind of looks like this. And this is kind of a cool picture because and you have it in your book, too. Mm-hmm. So I printed these out so you have them on display if you want them. But this one has the picnic tables that you picked out, those large oval-shaped concrete or aggregate colored tables, and they've worked out really well. And in here you can see the play area and the rocks that are in here and the detail of this. That's why I printed this out for you guys to look at. And this is the area that kind of looks like a ship right here. And this was the area that had wooden pilings along each side all the way around it and had a little crow's nest. It deteriorated so bad that we had to remove it. And on the bottom, the surfacing material is a rubber poured-in-place material. You see that it's separating here from the concrete, which could be problematic in the future and really needs to be torn out and re-poured. We put in a picnic table. This you might So you saw the picnic tables that we had earlier, the aggregate ones? Well, the old wooden ones had to go somewhere. And the most decent ones we reused. And there's one of them right there. And it's kind of a recycled deal, but it allows parents to sit close to the kids that are playing. And this little sign here says, don't feed the squirrels or the wildlife. But I just think that this is kind of like the makeshift, and it needs to get pulled out. It needs to get replaced. This is the poured-in-place material that I was talking about. This is the rubber, that the material that's separating from the concrete. This is just where a large post was. And so there's a little ship that was here in this area, and then this was raised up, climb the ladder and look at the crow's nest kind of thing. And that was all wooden structure as well. And so the wooden structures, they lasted so long, and preserved or not preserved, they just were gone. The big ship is still here. It's minus some of the elements that have originally on it. There used to be some chains that went down here and through the California playground safety codes, we're not compliant. So we're trying to make this structure as compliant and as safe as possible. And part of our talk was, and it's not on your proposal tonight, but it was to take these wooden structures here, these wooden pieces that are on the boat, the ship, and replace them with the faux wood. So they're more of a pot. They have the wood look, but they don't have the splinters, and they don't have the deterioration. These are in good shape, but I think that eventually they will go, and if we can replace them now, we should. So this is the port in place, and here's one of the little marine animals that we'll talk about now. And this is one of the few seals. It's in pretty good shape. This one here is kind of missing its nose, but this one is something that, on your proposal, we're looking to remove and replace with a cannon. So kind of like, hey, you're going to imagine you're on this ship, and there's a guy in the cannon, and you got a little fire back kind of thing. So that's one of your options. Either we can remove the seal, or we keep the seal. And that's something that I'd love to hear your feedback. On the left side or west or east side of the ship, we have one little springy toy here. It's the little springy ride that's a dolphin. And then the other one is up here in the corner, which is a little whale. But this is where the bridge used to be. And these are the big walking, the balance pilings, if you will. So a person could walk, a kid could walk up and climb these things and balance on them. It was part of the purpose behind that. And then they can get over here and they can walk along this little, help me out. Yeah, it's like a little suspended bridge. And so that deteriorated to the point where we fixed it. Finally, we just pulled it out. Here's the seal again. This is on the upper. So you see the seal here. You see a seal here. I think that's the tail back there of the whale. And this whale's tail, and in my report, I show you that there's a little sign right about here. It says, don't climb on the whale's tail. And that was a lot of fun. And when this was put in 1993, determined that the fall zone, if someone was to climb up here, the fall zone didn't have the clearance with this wall. So really, you shouldn't climb up here because there's a potential of you hitting this wall on the fall zone. So it didn't comply, this whale tail does not comply with the playground safety codes as far as the fall zone. So the best bet is to say, don't climb on this, and all this is public art. So the proposal we're asking is, we remove this, take this out, and put something else in this section that is a low element that doesn't that these walls will allow this element to be compliant with the fall zone. And whether it's, I mean, as low as a balance beam could be one, but I was hoping for something a little bit more dynamic, like maybe a climb rock or a seesaw or something like that. So that's something that something I definitely would like to take out now. Though I love the whale's tail, don't get me wrong, it's really cool. However, it would be really cool to have something the kids play on.
All right. Can we move the whale's tail? or removing at Rexit?
Well, I don't know yet.
Okay.
I like to relocate it. However, if we relocate this, and it was same as the big whale that was down at the Whale's Tail restaurant, and they try to give us that whale, and it's like, I really can't use the whale because I run into the same problem. Now, if we relocate this and we create a fall zone that this can comply, without a doubt. And I think one of the most opportune, what comes to my mind right now, would be Coleman Park.
Okay, so we could relocate it.
We can certainly relocate it.
Okay.
Know that it has a foundation underneath this that's probably significant.
Yeah, that's
so
what I was saying.
What you see on top is one thing. What's underneath all the sand is another.
It's like an iceberg.
Yeah. So this is an area that I'd like to get some direction from the commission. Again, this is one of our seals, and the proposal you have is to remove all the seals, and I think that we could save a significant amount of money in removal and the installation of something new with just keeping these here, even though one is kind of missing a nose. Maybe a little bit of grinding and make it smooth might be the ticket for us. So I don't want to hodgepodge the program. I don't want to say, hey, we'll keep a little bit of funk here. But there's some elements here that I've heard from the community saying, hey, we really like that. Our kids climb on that. Our kids sit on that. It's kind of cool. So if that's the case and they're safe and they comply with all of our codes, let's keep them. This little whale, cute little whale, isn't it? Hmm. This is the second little springy ride that we have, and they're worn. Both springy toys are worn. I mean, there's no doubt about it. It would be foolish to say, oh, they're fine. This is a little paint. No, they need to be removed and replaced. The idea, and this is the proposed design, the idea, and I'll go right to what we just talked about, those little springy rides, on the east side of the existing ship. Our proposal is to keep the ship because the cost to remove it is about $10,000 to remove all of this stuff. So we'd like to hang on to that money. And on the east side is not one springy toy, not two, but maybe five or six. And they would be, hold on to it, a pod of dolphins. Huh. And they're actually called whimsy rider dolphins. And they're a bit whimsy for me, but they might not be for kids. So I think that the pod of dolphins on the side of the ship is really a cool idea. Because when you see dolphins, they usually are in a pod. And it would allow for some interaction between kids to ride, and maybe there's a couple kids riding, and there's a couple kids on the ship, and it seems like it's a really cool thing to do, as opposed to what we had before, which we have right now, which is the wooden pilings and the we need to change, and that's the proposal there, and as you see this blue area here, this is the poured in place of rubber landing material. And it's two things. It's one, it makes your play area accessible for someone who is not as able-bodied as other kids. So if they're in a wheelchair or they have they've got a walker or they've got some kind of a crutches, then they can get into this area here really easy. And you notice how it's blue and it's kind of watery. This little guy here is a little dinghy. And it's a little boat. And if you've been down to the dinosaur caves, you've seen the little boat they have there. I think it's really cool. And it really goes with the ship that we have. And if you have a little dinghy here, I'm not going to say, but it would be cool to have, hey, wait for us. And they could have two groups kind of waiting and doing that. And next to this little dinghy is an octopus. And it's kind of like underground, and it's coming up, and it's like kind of like releasing the Kraken kind of thing. And it has three arms. But the most significant, I think, here is not only the accessibility that this area offers a child, or even if they're a real small kid, they can get into this area, is that this octopus is very low to the ground. and they're able to engage in that and maybe climb on it and kind of mess around with it and play and imagine and maybe get in this little dinghy. And it's kind of like a small scale, but it has a lot of adventure and imagination kind of tied to it. So I really liked this area here. To further this proposal is, remember, there's seals here, here, and here, and here, and there's a whale's tail here. And you notice that this does not have the little waves. This is a wave here. Well, this has been truncated. So there's some demo work there and some repouring because of the fall zone for this cannon. And I think that part of what my recommendation would be is to not mess with the retaining wall at all. And maybe don't add the cannon. And maybe we don't add the double slingshot over here or these climbing rocks. In this area where the whale's tail is, that would be an area that we would want to, I think, pull the whale's tail out because it's not compliant. And really, I think that we'd be better off just having sand.
Would it be impractical to move the retaining wall to make a fall zone there? Or? No.
I think that it's certainly a good idea. I think that the cost and the amount of money we have for this project at $50,000, we really want to make this project, this play area, as safe as we can.
Sure.
Take out what we think are potential hazards and put in what we need to put in. Messing with this retaining wall, I think it's a cost that we're not ready for right now.
Okay. All right.
So I think I have another slide. Oh, I thought I had another slide in there. Anyway, staff is recommending that for this project here at $99,000, we scale back. So number one, we're fiscally responsible and we stay within our budget at $50,000. We take the port in place and we replace it with port in place because of accessibility, and you need that for the landing zone.
Okay.
Please.
Is that actually physically blue? I don't remember. It's been a while since. Could we make it blue? Could you color the port in place to make it look like water?
It's
as long as we're doing it.
It's light gray.
We
can certainly make it blue.
Without
a doubt.
Let's whip through this one. Okay, all in favor of the dolphins, because I am. I think a pot of dolphins would be excellent for those. I think kids love those things.
Agree?
Agree. Okay, pot of dolphins, yes.
Okay.
Okay, seesaws. It's good to have something kids can share, teaches them sharing. How many is for? I'm for the seesaw. You guys for the seesaw? Seesaw?
Sure.
Okay. Well, you don't play well with others. Okay.
A lot of injuries on there.
Oh, no, it doesn't go very high. It's a real small seesaw, right?
Well,
the seesaw that we're looking at is more of a spring seesaw, where it isn't a traditional seesaw thing that most have grown up. Yeah, there'll be no cherry bombs or cherry drops or whatever they're called.
But a couple kids can play together on it.
Two kids could play.
Yeah,
it's a spring, and no one gets
nobody gets hurt. Good. Okay.
Well, where was that located?
Well, that's. That's something that I would want to ask you. It sounds like the pot of dolphins is something that we want to tear out what's there and put in the dolphins.
Yeah.
Wonderful. I would love to hear the port in place. It needs to be done.
Yeah. I like the boat.
Do we like the boat in the octopus or yes. Do we have another idea?
No,
I like the boat and octopus.
It seems you've researched it a bit. It seems like a good idea for what's out there.
I kind of like it.
Thank you.
thanks for noticing.
There is a weight limit on this equipment, so just in case you've got any ideas.
So this area here, keeping the ship and putting in this area, seems to be our 1, 2, 3 priority.
Yes.
And I say three.
It ties it together.
The third would be not just retaining the ship, but backfilling the areas so we have sufficient landing. So right now, some of the sand needs to be, added too, because you lose it from wind and just through wear.
Sure. Okay.
So adding the landing materials or our landing zones are compliant and it's safe is one. Two would be adding these pot of dolphins. Three is this port-in-place rubber rubber landing with the small dinghy and the three-armed octopus.
Right. They're making that a blue material.
And ensuring that this port in place is blue to simulate the water.
Yeah.
I like so far. So then removing the whale's tail, is there someone who wants to retain that and say, hey, we really want to keep that whale's tail in there? Don't change it.
No, not
okay.
If it's not
so
practically
if,
used.
So to remove the whale's tail would be really be number four.
Probably be demolishing it, though. If we could save it, we want to
try to pull it out in place.
Right.
Intact so we could reuse it, and we'll do our best to do that. Okay. It might be a fact that there's a certain point where we dig it down.
It's
and we
too
cut
much
it,
weight. Yeah.
We cut it, and we pull it out and try to pour it again.
Okay.
So if you were to rotate that 180 degrees, would your landing zone change?
It still wouldn't be sufficient enough for the height of the element that was looked at, and so pour another whale's tail would be one thing, or to put in a different type of an element. It sounds like there isn't really a major opposition to retaining the seals.
I think they're
no.
I've seen a lot of people, they play on those. They love it. They take pictures up with them on there and all that. I think
okay.
We might be able to get a local surfer. They're fiberglass? Maybe we get a local surfer to
no.
patch it.
No,
they're concrete?
They're all concrete.
Is there any way to patch concrete?
That'd be kind of tough. I think maybe we just... I think that
we
a bit
put
of
a man on the moon.
A little bit of grinding.
Grinding and sanding and polishing.
Yeah, I think so. And maybe just a stubbed nose seal.
Use your imagination. Yeah. The seal used to have a nose.
They got hurt park, somehow.
Yeah. So, and just to be clear, it wasn't actually the Parks and Recreation Department that put a man on the moon. That was NASA.
Thank you.
Okay.
For that clarification. So the retaining wall, we don't. It sounds like we don't want to mess with the retaining wall.
If we can help it, hang on to the seals.
Because the grass is established behind that. It's not that grass area is so nice too.
Right.
I don't want to damage that.
So then my last question to the commission would be, when we remove the whale's tail. The option is to leave that area blank so it just simulates a sand. So we have a sandbox, if
you will. Place to dig for treasure.
So, which is not bad.
Yeah.
Or we can put in another element. And the other elements, I mean, I have some other diagrams. But, again, we can't be too high.
Maybe we should leave it because you still left out the wood decking on the ship, changing the... the wood to the plastic wood, the simulated wood.
Mm. Well, that replacement, the idea that we had was to not include it to the project, but ask in-house staff to do that when time and resources were available.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we would try to save some of our money and really get, because right now those elements are in good condition.
Okay.
But knowing that, from all the other wood that we had in this park, that they're going to go sooner or later.
Right.
So
I guess what I'm getting at is how do we know that what we've talked about isn't beyond 51K? Or how does it work with your designers? Do you not tell them your budget, and then they give you a project, and then we cry about it and then try to cut it in half? I mean, usually it works. You tell someone a budget, and they design you something that's around your budget.
Well,
not twice your budget.
I understand that, but when we approached this project, we didn't have a budget.
Okay.
Number one, and number two, we really wanted to see what was going to come out, and we knew we could toss a few things in and out because we're the ones paying. So we really wanted to say what can you bring to the table? What was it going to look like? And we kind of flushed out a lot of different ideas with this cannon, and really not knowing what the price was. And when you come back and say, "Oh, the cannon's custom," the octopus and the dinghy are custom. Well, those prices go up. And I had some cost associated with just those elements. I talked about $99,000. That was for everything, but just for those elements that are illustrated, you're looking at about $55,000. So we've already shot our budget, and we haven't demoed anything, and we haven't replaced the port in place. The port in place is about $15,000. So we start with really what we need to do is make this play area as safe as we can.
Yes.
So the insulation is on this particular estimate is about $21,000, but it would be reduced significantly if we didn't put in that many things. Putting in whimsy spring dolphins
that aren't custom, right?
They aren't custom. They aren't. They're standard. So putting in something standard and it's fairly easy to put in, it's gonna bring that cost way down. So as I come back, I mean, we started at about over $120,000, came down to about $99,000, and now I'm looking to go under $50,000, and realizing what we can get for the money, we really have to scale back for what we want and what we really could replace, and do we really need to replace it? And not replacing the seals is a big item, particularly when you talk about demoing and then putting them back and putting in something else.
So the repour is $15,000, you say?
The repour is estimated. The surfacing material is about $15,000.
That's take out the old, put the new in?
No, just to pour it in place.
Okay, so figure probably another two or three to tear it out at least.
Most likely, and if we come back with a number, I won't come back to you after tonight, but when the numbers come back to us and say, hey, you're under 50 and it's going to include all this, great, we're going to go with it. If it's not, and then we may be able to do some demo work in-house.
Okay.
And we had planned on that, but I don't know what kind of resources we have available. We want to get this done before the summertime. So time is somewhat of the essence because it will run out on us and visitors will be coming in soon, and we want to be ready.
Round up some volunteer
I have
clubs.
A dolphin question. Are the dolphins all generic dolphins, or are there blue boy dolphins and pink girl dolphins? Is there any?
No, they're non-gender specific.
Okay.
Well, I
whimsy,
thought if they were, then we should
dolphins.
Have at least half of each. Yeah. Okay, they're whimsical. Thank you. Thank you for clarifying that.
Certainly.
Okay.
I'd like to make an observation. Now I see why you do what you do. Your enthusiasm and animation over this project's incredible.
Right.
Thanks. This is the good stuff.
This is the stuff for the kids,
and the kids really count.
The
Kraken coming out. I mean, when you see, I was down there the other day taking some pictures. When you can see kids just playing, and he's the pirate, and he's and they're so into it. I mean, that's what we do. That's why we do it. It's great.
That's what a park is for.
It's so fun to watch them play.
Just to get to these kids to make them happy.
So, is there a recommendation for? A replacement element at the whale's tail.
Not at this point. Why don't we keep that as open sand and later if the
staff was to say, ooh, that's pretty cool, because the recommendation came back, we want to put this in, what kind of element do you want to have? A rock? Because we can put a rock climber in there and keep it a low rock that kids can go up there and climb on.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Or another boat, or
we could put in what you see here is kind of like a double kind of a surfer.
A submarine. Deal. Can we get a submarine?
So that we could have, instead of the dolphins, we could have a spring like a surfer and little surfboards or little round balancing pods, if you will. But remember, we're imaginative nautical theme. So it kind of is like we really need to. I really would like us to stay with that theme, because right now we're 90% there.
You have a balancing pod, as a bell buoy or a harbor marker, painted up like
possibly.
Yeah, something nautical.
Okay, so it sounds like it's a nautical kind of a buoy or a.
I think the surfboard sounds interesting.
Yeah,
my kids love surfing. Get them out there and kind of do
something that's balancing
practice.
Not a whole lot of maybe an individual, maybe a tandem kind of a thing.
Tandem would be good.
Low profile.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it would
these
be.
Kids can share. Right?
I think it'd be a good idea to have playground equipment that kids can share, like a tandem surfboard. You know, that they're kind of surfing with each other, kind of thing. And so just two little small surfboards that are kind of low to the ground.
Okay.
I think that's something that would be a good idea.
Brilliant, man.
Something like this.
Yeah.
Precisely, yeah.
Precisely.
It's on springs?
You can steal that from the skateboard museum.
It's called the springboard. And it seems like a little high, but I think we can probably lower it down so it complies with our fall zones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll look at putting in at least one, maybe two springboards in that area.
Yeah, because it's nautical and beachy, you know, surfy, skateboardy place.
The surfboard itself is, and so the other, maybe this is what they call it, this is a round springboard.
No, I like the surfboard more.
The board is
more surf, skateboard,
more
surfboard
fun. More water oriented.
Yeah, it's beachier.
How about one of each?
Yeah, one of each.
Possibly, okay.
Whoa. So, with a friend. Well, I wish I had your budget.
The springboard is about $1,200.
Well, but it lasts 50, 25 years.
Right, and it comes with a manufacturer's guarantee, and a lot of things go along with it.
Exactly.
So I think I understand the motion, or at least I understand the direction from the commission. Probably would like to see a motion to say the recommendations. Like if you had a motion to,
I make a motion that we.
Thank you.
Redo the resurfacing with the rowboat and the octopus.
In blue.
We add the six dolphins, the pot of dolphins. Keep the boat where it is and do the maintenance that needs to be done with that. Take the cannon out. Add the springboard in. Keep the dolphin or keep the seals in. Mm-hmm. And I think that
and
covers
the whale
it.
Tail.
And the whale tail.
Yeah, adios the whale's tail.
Second.
See, in this area, we could probably put in two of the springboards if we had enough resources. Okay.
Do we get it?
There was a second.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? None.
No one cares. Great. Thank you, and I would turn it back to the commission. Thank you very much.
For evaluation, tree lighting, place structure. Oh, we get to the election part now?
Mm-hmm.
G3. All right. Looks like we need to elect a new chair and vice chairman. Do we have any nominations?
I'd like to nominate Drew for another year.
You can denote him.
I'd like to second that nomination.
All right, I'll do it one more year. But that's it. One last year. I'll accept one more. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, do I get a?
You got more nominations and more votes.
Okay. Oh. All right, I'm going to close nominations for chairperson, and that's it. Okay. We need to nominate a new vice chair for the upcoming season. So.
This one right here is well-experienced, Tom Coxwell.
Tom Coxwell. I second the nomination.
Any other nominations?
Any other nominations? No, the nominations are closed. Congratulations, Tom.
All right.
He didn't even say anything. He's stunned.
It's a wonderful honor. An honor.
Sometimes we voted people in that aren't even here. So I mean, what's to say?
Exactly. Why showed up.
and now we need to elect a commission representative
for the senior citizens.
For the senior citizens. So do I have any nominations for that?
I nominate Al.
Would you like to do that now?
It's maybe the time. A very, very easy task. There isn't much to do at all.
Okay.
Well, that's good.
It sounds like you accept it. I'll second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, Al. You're a good man.
He hasn't hit the pickup ball yet. You want to go on the letter E?
The letter E. E. Future agenda items. What do we have for future agenda items? Because I think we've taken care of the pickleball issue, right?
No.
Then that should be a fair. What I'd like to know, truly, is how much does it degrade the tennis experience by having it a multi-purpose court?
I'd be happy to answer that in my report if this becomes a future agenda item.
Okay, I'd like to make this a future agenda item.
Also, could you address how much the Monte Young Court is used? It would be nice to have some kind of research with that.
I could provide research with that. I can hear Mr. Romero's backhand there on Tuesday and Wednesday from my residence on Shasta.
Very, so.
The park is three doors from where I live. That park is used 24/7.
Yeah.
It's busy all the time. All the time busy.
I can attest to that.
Okay.
I use it 2 times a day myself. Not the tennis courts, but the park.
Was that a consensus that pickleball use would be a future agenda item?
Yes, that's a consensus. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? But it's fast.
Thank you.
Is there any other future agenda item that you might want to bring to the table?
Somebody remind me. Future agenda items.
You know, there was one thing mentioned in the agenda about the slow CAPRA program in March. That's before the next meeting.
It's not a future agenda item, but
different
before
question.
Your next meeting, thank you, Commissioner Romero, for bringing that up. The slow CAPRA has their annual workshop. This year, the venue will be at Jaylor Winery.
Yeah.
And... there's quite a bit of quite a fascinating program to be offered to the commission. I traditionally sign everybody up and force you to go. The date will be March 7th, 2015.
Yeah.
So if you want to check your calendars at home and send me a quick email to me or Celeste or both and let us know either you're in or you're out and your desire to carpool. It would be awesome, and then we can make sure we get that to Slope Capra and let those folks know.
Okay.
And I'll turn it back. I'm sorry if I digress from future agenda items, but if you were done with that, I'll turn it back to the chair.
I believe we are.
I have one question first. You know, the big project in Slope, the whole county is Scoop, Don't Pollute.
Yeah.
Are we going to pursue that anymore, like signs in our park to say that, Scoop, Don't Pollute? Just kind of
keep
it going.
There are signs about dogs in the parks.
Yes, that program will continue. That's through our stormwater management plan, and the person heading that up for the city is Damaris Hansen. And her last demonstration was up at North Point, and we had little irrigation flags that they call the orphan droppings. And so when there's orphans, there are flags, and you can see how many flags are left and maybe make the appropriate choice of scooping up after your pet. So, yes, to answer your question, yes, the program will continue. And I'm not too sure what park it is, but check us on Facebook. I'm sure that we'll be announcing it.
There you go.
But do we have signs that we put in the park to kind of remind people that? Or
people know.
There is a proper signage that goes along with that program. But on a continuous basis, we would rely on our MUTMIT program and the boxes and the verbiage that's on those boxes asking people to pick up after their pet. But, and it's the law.
Before we close, I have a question. Question that I left a message for you, Joel, your officer, all back. What is the general consensus of the city about drinking on tennis courts, alcohol?
It's against the law.
I know it is. I know it is.
Well,
I've seen it. Who should be reported to?
Any violations of the law, particularly drinking in a park that's unpermitted,
should be
reported to the police department. They're the ones who are going to enforce the law as far as this drinking in public. Now, there are certain circumstances where people have permits to do that.
Oh, okay.
But it sounds like this is not a permitted use, and that violation is against our public, our community, our Morro Bay municipal code.
Municipal codes.
And you should have them contact the police department.
All your parks have never been allowed alcohol.
No, there's no drinking in any public facility at all, unless by permit.
Yeah. In public. There's no drinking in public, so don't, please, babe. Play nice. Okay, I move that we adjourn this.
Yeah.
Make a motion to adjourn this thing?
I'll make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Any seconds? It's adjourned.
Thank you.
Okay.
So,